Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry is delighted to bring you The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling, where we test the beliefs of Christianity against the very words of Jesus that he gave his own eyewitness disciples. Join us for a unique and challenging study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Hello, hello, and welcome all to another dynamic and exciting study into truth. Today's program is The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling, and concurrent with that is Rick sitting right across from me, and to my right is Larry, and we are Dr. Don is on the phone, and Michael Mibayo is coming in through the door. So we're gathered, the saints are gathering, and we hope that you are gathering with us. We are going to get started here literally in just 2 minutes, but before we do that, I'm going to remind you of our website. The first primary website is spiritoftruthministry.net. There you will find our book, The Spirit of the Church by Rick Sterling and me. And that is quite a story, and you can read that on our second website, spiritoftruthministry.net/S, capital T, capital M. And there not only is a description of the writing of the book, there is other writings by Rick and some of the rest of us who have been involved with this ministry, lo, these many years. And I think you will find that those items an interesting read. Let us have prayer and we will get started. Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, we are so excited to be living in times like these when we can actually witness the mighty hand of God working in this world to bring truth and security and justice to people who need it to know, in order to know the King of the Kingdom of Heaven. I pray, Father, that as we go through our study today, you will open our eyes, soften our hearts, and make us susceptible to the truth. And I thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, good morning, Larry.
Good morning.
And good morning, Dr. Don.
Good morning. Good morning.
And
mellifluous. Both you and Don have mellifluous voices. You should have heard Don in his heyday. Oh my, you remember how that was?
In singing.
And oh yeah, Don and I sang in the same groups for years and years, and it was such a delight. And I miss that more than I can tell you. And so, Don, if you need to get a hold of us and want to say something, go ahead and push one, and we'll put you back on the air. And good morning, Rick. It is a delight to see you today.
Well, thank you. It's a delight to be here. I think that's what the Firefly said when he backed into the fan, the oscillating blade.
He was delighted. Well, and that is what lies are.
No, stay tuned. It does get better.
Well, there was a text yesterday that I couldn't pinpoint, so I'm going to start with that text today.
Matthew 24, whatever the
verse was, yes. The verse...
10, 11, 12.
We'll start with the verse 4, because that's a very important verse, and it's one of Dennis's favorite oft-quoted verses. So, Dennis, would you like the privilege of doing the honor of reading it?
Okay, let's then set this up. at the end of chapter 23 and at the very beginning of chapter 24. And by the way, remember, there are no chapter breaks in these.
There are no verses.
There's no verses either. This is just added by editorial editors to make it easier for us to find
studying
right,
and references.
To find our locations. Prior to this, Jesus had been talking to his disciples, and
He had just lambasted the Pharisees.
Yes, the seven woes and going like nuts, okay? And so Jesus had been talking about what kind of things would be happening toward the end of time and what to look for. And so in Matthew 24:1, Jesus is coming out of the temple with his disciples, and he points to these buildings, and he says...
Well, the disciple says, you see these massive...
Right, you see the massive stones, you see this massive buildings. They wanted to know what was going to happen. But Jesus said to them, do you not see these things?
I didn't interrupt you, Dennis, but what I wanted to say is that to the disciples, they thought that would last forever.
See, and I was just about to say that. They could not imagine life without the temple. And so
it was beyond the ability to be destroyed.
Jesus had just told them that this temple was going to go away. He came out of the temple.
Not one of these massive stones on
top of another. And so then they were sitting on Mount of Olives, and his disciples came to him privately. Now, what does that mean? Was there a crowd there? No. His disciples came to him when no one else was around, and they asked him. They said, tell us, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign of the coming of your coming and the end of the age? They wanted to know, first of all, would they be alive to see this? And secondly, what are the things? I mean, is that really going to happen?
They figured that if the temple was destroyed, that would be the end of the world.
And you have pointed out time and again that the next verse, and this is why I think that you need this today, is this is called a signature verse. This kind of answer that Jesus gave confirms that while he was human, he was more than human. He was also divine. And a human being, there's a cup there for you, Michael, and some creamer, and I'll have to get you some. There's some maple syrup over there for you if you want for the coffee. They wanted information. They wanted stats. They wanted descriptions.
But wait, Dennis. Why didn't he say, that's not for you to know? Nobody knows. I don't even know. I can't tell you.
Right. Well, that comes later, too. So here is Jesus having been asked a direct question by the disciples. And it shows that he was thinking far beyond the thinking of mortal men in his answer. Because here was a perfect example, perfect place where Jesus could have said, by the way, there's an apostle coming that you don't know about right now, and he's going to change everything, and he's going to do it with my permission, and he's going to say, you're going to be saved by salvation through grace by faith, and he's going to change everything He could have said that, but he didn't. And here's what he said. See to it that no one mislead you, for many will come in my name, telling you that I am Christ, and will mislead many. How many? Many. You see, Jesus didn't give them the answer they wanted. He gave them the answer they needed to hear. And if it was impossible, if it was totally impossible, as we have been told, because the Bible is the 100% inerrant, inviolate word of God from cover to cover, including the cover, the disciples could never have been deceived. Ever. If that was impossible,
well,
then
yeah, God would not allow them to be
deceived. Yeah, God would not allow them to be deceived. Why did Jesus say this?
And I say that because I've had any number of people telling me that as long as you are worshiping God, praying to God, going to church to learn about God, that God gives you special protection so that you will not be deceived by any lying word. And then in the next breath, they tell me that I'm lying to them.
Thank you.
And they're going to make, they have special protection so that even I can't deceive them.
How can you learn the truth when you go to a house of lies?
That's a good question, Larry. Thank you, Dennis.
And you're right, that is one of my favorite places in the Bible.
I know.
Because what it does...
This is one of my favorite places because it shows the humanity of the disciples. That they were no more than who we are. And it also...
Just like us.
And it also showed the humanity of Jesus Christ in giving them an answer that would last through the centuries. Because we have those words right there. And so here we are. It is Jesus Christ put the onus on his own disciples and therefore on us. Because we are reading these words, it is our job to see to it that we ourselves are not misled. And how do you do that? It's exactly what we're doing here.
Reject anything that you weren't taught when you were little, what you were brought up with.
To put it kindly, his answer transcended their awareness level.
That's right. Exactly.
Well, that was kind of a common occurrence in that time. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Do not be alarmed, for this is something that must happen. But the end will not be yet. For nation will fight against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes here and there. All this is only the beginning of birth pangs. Then they will hand you over to be tortured and put to death, and you will be hated by all the nations on account of my name. And then many will fall away. Men will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise. They will deceive many.
Now for that elusive text.
And with the increase of lawlessness, love in most men will grow cold. But the man who stands firm to the end will be saved. This good news of the kingdom will be proclaimed to the whole world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. There have been a few, maybe, false prophets. As I see it, the ones who I have seen do their prophesying a few have a certain element of accuracy. One that I know of who is now asleep in death is Kim Clement. And somewhere around 2010, I think it was, between 2010 and 2012, he said that he had seen or had heard that Donald Trump would be elected president in 2016. And that Donald Trump would be elected president because God was putting him in the White House. And in the revelation that Kim Clement was giving, he equated Donald Trump with a trumpet. There will be a trumpet in the White House. He also said that he will be a praying president, a praying man in the White House. And Kim Clement questioned that. Donald Trump, a praying man? You know, I think that he has a reputation of being a party goer. Kind of, you know, he's had more than one wife. And Kim was going through kind of a list of God. Are you sure you're talking about the right man, a praying president? God says, you know, he may not be a praying man now, but when he gets in the White House, he will be a praying man. And I thought, yeah, well, I can understand that, because if I was in his shoes, I would definitely be on my knees frequently. Because all the forces of hell have been aligned against him. People have told me, well, Donald Trump can't be God's choice. I mean, like all the things he's done, when you get a list of the sinners, Donald Trump is close to the top. And what I say to them is, you mean right below King David? Oh. Well, what about Solomon? What about Hezekiah? What about Joel? Yeah, I could go down the list of kings of Israel, and they would all be grouped right around where everyone put Donald Trump.
The leaders of this earth don't have a long history of recognizing good and righteous men.
Well, you know, God did not allow King David to build his temple because God himself said, you have shed too much human blood. I don't think that Donald Trump had relations with someone's wife, got her pregnant, and then fixed an execution for her husband to save face. You know.
Moses was denied an opportunity also.
For different reasons, but I mean, you know, denial is denial. And that's, I'm not talking about a river in Egypt. So he said that 2016 Donald Trump would be elected president. I've said that Lindsey Williams, who was a chaplain for the workers, the construction workers who were laying the oil pipeline in Alaska, the oil transmission pipeline in Alaska. Now, you know, the oil companies are basically owned by the elite. And there were, quote, air quote, elite involved. And Lindsay Williams, who was the pastor, he became very well acquainted with some of these elite individuals. And a couple of them felt confident in him enough to share with him their plans for the future. And the last surviving elite friend of Lindsay Williams, Pastor Lindsay Williams, had told him kind of a timetable in it for when the One World Order would take over. The 16-year plan that involved 8 years of Barack Obama and 8 years of Hillary Clinton. During the Clinton administration, the One World Order would be in effect, put into effect. It's already ready to go, and she would win, and we would have, for all intents and purposes, exactly what Revelation 13 describes. I put together an end time chart using the time periods given in Daniel and Revelation. I found a way to actually make a realistic, explainable, and observable timeline for the end. It started in July of 2012 and ran through October 2019. 2016 on that chart was when the trumpets would start to blow and the earth would experience 3.5 years of hell on earth. That's why one of my email accounts, I have Prophecy 2016. And we know that Donald Trump was elected in 2016. Why? Because God wanted a praying president in the White House. Why didn't he have one of the popular pastors? Because God knows better than to do that. God knew the exact person he needed to be president of this country, because this country was not a wicked country. I read about the love of most or grow cold, and I dare any one of you to tell me that that is in fact the case in this country and in this world, where most of the population do not care about their family, they do not care about their neighbor, they do not care about God, they don't care about anything but themselves. I defy you to give me that proof, because I can give you volumes of proof of the contrary. And I've explained to you about God gives humanity what they want. Okay. And believe me, the evil, cold-hearted, they want Revelation 13. They want blood. They want torture. They want hardship. As long as they're the ones inflicting it.
Rick, just pulled something up, and I'm going to post this on the our Facebook page. Concurrent with that chart was also a description of how to use it. And that was the 7 rules of prophetic interpretation. I find it fascinating that number six applies to what we are going through right now. Because since the prophecies that you saw happening in that chart have not happened, the time for them to happen has passed, and therefore they will never happen. So, and that's what you've been saying. I'm going to read this just to give you an idea of how this research came about. But, and again, I'm going to post this on our Facebook group page. So if you're not already a member of our Facebook group page, please go there and click on that you want to join, and I'll be happy to put you on that. But anybody can see it. And here's number six. It is time-specific prophecy. Certain prophecies or elements of prophecy have a specific time for their understanding. These prophecies can be read anytime, but the understanding of the interpretation of these prophecies is sealed up until a specific time has been reached. Before these prophecies are unsealed, understood at the specific time, it is impossible for them to be understood and or accurately interpreted. And the other one is number four. Timing within the restoration calendar is given in day years. One day equals 1 year. Excuse me. Where is it? Oh, here it is. I'm sorry. It's number two. In order for a prophetic fulfillment to occur, all elements of the prophecy must occur as stated within the prophecy. And the point of this is that when a prophecy's fulfillment time has come and gone and it has not been fulfilled, it will never be fulfilled.
God has always hoped for a certain condition for his people. We see that hope revealed in the law and the prophets. God's hope was that the people of his choosing and all the people who chose to become a part of his people would learn everything they needed to know the God they worshiped. And he promised that just as a faithful wife, faithful to her husband without exception, he would be a faithful husband, providing for his people, making his people prosperous, healthy, strong. Their crops would always grow in abundance. More than enough. He would always send the rain to water the crops. No plague or disease would harm them. No locust or other wild creatures would destroy their crops or inflict pain on the people. They would have peace and prosperity. God would fight their wars for them. No sword would touch them. But the people he had called to be his kingdom had turned their back on him and had worshiped other gods. And so they had to experience death and destruction. I can tell you why Donald Trump won the presidency in 2016. Because the people of Earth, majority of them, loved their neighbor as themselves. They cared about other people. They cared enough to make sure that those they knew that were hurting, they would do what they could to help them, even if it was just comfort. That's what God has wanted. People to love their neighbor as they love themselves. He also wants them to love him. To love him with all their heart and all their mind, all their strength. But you cannot love someone you do not know. Intimately, no. The good news of the kingdom, also known as the gospel of the kingdom, that is the information that God has given for us to learn all we must know about him so that we will know him as well as we know ourselves. Now, Kim Clement had another couple of visions. Go ahead, Larry.
Well, just a little more analysis of the Trump situation. In 2016, I think the prevailing understanding, at least that I have, is that people did not choose Trump because they knew him. They rejected what they saw of the deep state plan, and so Trump was a viable alternative, but they really didn't know him at that point. They were hopeful that it would be a good choice.
And also be aware.
And in the following 4 years, they got to know him, and then now they love him.
That's right. They got to know him. And that's a very good example, Larry, because most people knew of Donald Trump, but what they knew of Donald Trump wasn't what they ultimately came to know after 4 years of his presidency.
In other words, there were many people who held their nose and still voted for him. Today, no one that I know is holding their nose.
I have never heard a crowd of tens of thousands of people chanting to a president, "We love you." And that is it. You see, those same people would not have said that to Donald Trump pre-election. They would not have. He wouldn't have had a crowd of 30,000, 40,000 people chanting, "We love you," before the election. Probably quite the opposite. And that's what I'm talking about. I say most, if not all, Christians today would chant, "God, we love you, that we worship you, we honor you." But if God's Son should come to the earth today in his human form and start preaching in Christian churches, because they care about their neighbor, they would be nice to him, but they would nicely say, please don't come back. What you say is not right. That's not a message of love. Now, you know, we love you and everything, and you're welcome to stay here, but don't ever say anything like that in this church. And, you know, we'll if you want to come to potluck afterwards, we'll love you as a fellow human being, but we do not agree with what you're saying. So it's kind of the other way around of what Trump has experienced. They didn't love him, and now they do. But if the Son of God were to come here, they would say they loved him, but now they don't. But they wouldn't even acknowledge him as being the Son of God because he's not saying what they want to hear. Kim Clement also said that in 2020, Donald Trump would be reelected in a landslide, but it wouldn't be apparent at first. Forces of evil from east and west would desperately try to prevent that from happening. But that ultimately God would overrule those that were trying to cheat to win. You see, the elite friend of Lindsey Williams said that the reason Hillary was not elected president is because God intervened. So it doesn't make sense to me. I can here flatly say without any doubt, why would God intervene in 2016 to prevent the deep state and the one world order from taking control of the earth just so they could do it in 2020? And the timing is all off. I mean, think of it. If you think about the look at my chart, it's all there. If you think about the coming about of the one world order of Revelation 13 and that beast coming out of the sea with the seven heads and the ten horns and the blasphemous names and the ten crowns on the horns and the body of the beast of a leopard, the mouth of a lion, the feet of a claws of a bear, the three kingdoms in Daniel 7 that were allowed to exist until a certain point of time in the end. God had it set up so that there would be the faithful and wise servant, the fellow bondservants. Then he would come and find them actively learning the truth they needed to know, and they would be sent to the 144,000, and they would get the 144,000 ready. And the 144,000 would then wake up the sleeping bridesmaids, the wise and the foolish. And they would all enter the kingdom of God. And then the censer would be cast down. And the seven angels would prepare to sound their trumpets. The four angels who were holding back the four winds would release the four winds. The first trumpet would sound. I mean, it was all so clearly explained and revealed. But you see, that can't happen now. That was supposed to start in 2012. That whole run-up to 2016 when the trumpets would start, the censer cast down and the trumpets would start. That deep state beast is all ready to go. In fact, they've already put the clamp down on the European Union. They're starting in Canada to do it. They're getting it all ready, and all they need to do is pull off this coup. And you will see a world that you never would have dreamed could have existed except in your worst nightmare. Satan is not familiar with losing when it comes to humans. He successfully thwarted God's attempts to bring about the kingdom with the children of Israel. Time and time again, he would plead and plead and plead with him, and yet they still, with rare exception, they turn their back on God, and they worship the gods of the nations. And the gods of the nations are nothing more than evil angels and demons. And while a few faithfully worshiped God, God needed a holy kingdom. A holy kingdom, not some people, a few people in the kingdom holy, but the rest of them worshiping other gods. God cannot have that. Today, the people of the world are a loving, kind people for the most part. There is a minority that are wicked, but the majority is good. They just need to hear the truth about God and accept it. The gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached in the whole world, and then the end will come. How we get from where the gospel of the kingdom has started being preached and we get to the end, that depended upon the other. Are people caring about one another, or are they wicked, like in the days before the flood, when the heart, the mind of everyone, save one person, Noah, was wicked. There was no care about one's neighbors, oneself. There was no humanitarian projects helping people. They were all in it for themselves and themselves only. So, Donald Trump did win the election in a landslide, but the demon rats don't want you to know that. They don't want you to see that. They want you to believe that their idiot won. And they want you to go, well, I guess we just have stuck with this. No, you're not. No, we are not. One thing I know about God: if you ask God to fight for you and for this country and for the world, he will do that. In fact, he is already doing that. And it has been very clear from the insiders in this government, the United States, they know also. Nothing can stop what is coming. Nothing. And always remember, God wins.
Leave that stone from the mountain is on its way.
speaking of which, I was just going there. In Daniel chapter 2, Daniel was brought into Nebuchadnezzar's hearing room or palace room, whatever, and he was going to tell Nebuchadnezzar what his dream vision was. This is what Daniel said. It's Daniel 2, starting with verse 20. May the name of God be blessed forever and ever. Since wisdom and power are his alone, his to control the procession of times and seasons, to make and unmake kings, to confer wisdom on the wise and knowledge on those with wit to discern. I hope you're catching all these words that Daniel says. You see, Daniel is saying these words from personal experience.
What chapter is it?
2.
Verse 19 and on.
His to uncover depths and mysteries, to know what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. To you, God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise for having given me wisdom and intelligence. Now you have shown me what we asked you. You have revealed the king's trouble to us. With he and his friends. Personal experience. Would you like to have that same personal? Because God needs many Daniels. Many like Daniel's friends. So Daniel went to see Arioch when the king had, whom the king had made responsible for putting the Babylonian sages to death. Do not put the Babylonian sages to death. Take me into the king's presence, and I will reveal the meaning to the king. Arioch lost no time in bringing Daniel to the king. Among the exiles from Judah, he said, I have discovered a man who can reveal the meaning to the king. The king said to Daniel, who had been given the name Belshazzar, can you tell me what my dream was and what it means? Facing the king, Daniel replied, none of the sages, enchanters, magicians, or wizards has been able to tell the king the truth of the mystery which the king propounded. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries and who has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what is to take place in the days to come. These then are the dreams and the visions that passed through your head as you lay on your bed. Do you notice kind of a common theme that Daniel propounds here? What does he say that God does? Reveals mysteries. What would you call the prophecy, the explanation, or what is contained in Revelation chapter 10?
Mystery.
Unrevealed mystery.
I want you to think about that. Yes, indeed, there is a secret in Revelation 10, but God had, but God gave John that experience, and he wrote the experience down, even though he didn't write down what he heard. He wrote down what he experienced. And what he and part of that is interaction with this voice from the heavens and this angel.
Revelation 10:7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, then the mystery of God is finished, revealed, as he preached to his servants, the prophets.
Well, yeah, or made known.
Made known.
Now, the seventh angel, I'm still trying to process this, but I'm sure that it would be in the voice of the seven thunders. The seven angels blow their trumpets announcing a certain segment of the judgment, the final judgment, has started. The first trumpet is flaming hail, probably meteorites and so on. The second trumpet is a mountain all ablaze, cast into the sea that could be a volcano, such as in the Canary Islands or the Hawaiian Islands, the volcano that goes off, and there are some very large, unstable volcanic shelves on the island that can slide and go into the sea, or it could be a giant asteroid. The third is a star all ablaze, which could be a comet. Blazing like a torch. The fourth is that the sun is darkened and the moon turned to the color of blood, and the stars and the heavens fall. Actually, what that seems to be describing could be a micronova from the sun. The hot plasma that is blasted from the sun hits the moon and heats the surface of the moon to a point where the mineral, the material part of the surface of the moon actually is vitrified, becomes as glass. The moon is heated to almost sun surface temperatures. You can imagine what that would do to the people and to the earth when it hits the earth. Then the fifth trumpet is the release of the angel king from the abyss. The sixth is the drying up of the river, or is the release for the four angels at the river Euphrates in a terrible war. The seventh angel, he announces that the kingdom of the world is now the kingdom of the Lord and of his anointed one. And they shall rule forever and ever. So, it has always been my understanding that you can't have a subsequent trumpet sound before the one before. In other words, the first trumpet can't sound after the seventh trumpet, and the fourth trumpet can't sound after the sixth trumpet. They have to be sounded in sequential order. The fact that this says in the days when the seventh angel is about to sound, the event that ties the seventh angel is the triumph of the kingdom. So it may not necessarily be that the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth trumpets have already sounded. By saying that the seventh angel, what we can understand from that is that the kingdom of God has triumphed over the kingdom of the evil one, the kingdom of the world.
Does the kingdom of the heavens need those first six in order to triumph?
See, I don't know. That information, I'm sure, is in the seven thunders. But that's how I understand that right now. In verse 43, and just as you saw the iron and the clay of the earthenware mixed together, so the two will be mixed together in the seed of men, but they will not hold together any more than iron will blend with earthenware. In the time of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed, and his kingdom will not pass into the hands of another race. It will shatter and absorb, all the previous kingdoms, and itself last forever. Just as you saw the stone, untouched by hand, break forth from the mountain and shatter iron, bronze, earthenware, silver, and gold, the great God has shown the king what is to take place. The dream is true, the interpretation exact. The stone that was cut out without hands that shatters the image at its feet, and the whole image is turned to dust, and it absorbs those other kingdoms, and it grows into a huge mountain which fills the whole earth. That sounds like what I would term a life road outcome.
A Kraken level event.
There we go. Thank you, Rick, and thank you all for being here today. I encourage you to go to our Facebook page. It is the Spirit of Truth Ministry group page on Facebook. I encourage you to go to our websites at spiritoftruthministry.net and spiritoftruthministry.net/SM. There you are going to find lots of good information. And on our Blog Talk Radio site, we have just about 1,200 episodes for you to listen to. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis Neufeld wishing you a great day, a happy Sabbath, and we'll see you all next time.